Psalm 106. This is a fairly lengthy psalm, so I'm just going to read from verse 1 to 15. 1 to 15, and thereafter from verse 45 to the end of the chapter, to the end of the psalm. 1 to 15. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths, as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Verse 45, and he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen, to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand your word and to know that you are God that keeps covenants, and those that are in covenant with you also have covenantal duties. We thank you for the church, this visible church comprised of not only believers but also their children, not only believers but also unbelievers. And we pray, Father, that as your word goes forth week in and week out, that those who merely profess Christ may come to possess him. And teach us, O Lord, not to be like those in the wilderness on their way to the promised land who lusted after things of the world. But help us, Lord, to remember all of your goodness to us, that we may walk in your ways and do your judgments. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm only going to focus on verse 10 to verse 15, because it's a very long psalm. But just those five verses, and I'll pick verses from different places in the psalm. Now, Alexander McLaren, he was an English Baptist theologian. He once wrote, and I think these are remarkable words, he said, the history of God's past is a record of continual mercies, but the history of man's past is one of continual sin. I think that's remarkable. You know, whenever we see the history of man, we see how man has sinned, but we see how God has been gracious. Now, this psalm especially talks about that, and it's a very this statement it rings very true. You know, Israel had been redeemed out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea, and they crossed on dry land, and immediately after they crossed, God covered the Egyptians and Pharaoh and all his armies with the waters of the Red Sea. So the people would have witnessed this, you know, they even sang about it, but soon after, what happened? They forgot. They saw it with their own eyes. They saw the darkness over Egypt. They saw the gnats. They saw the locusts. They saw the water turn into blood. But in their own community, they were free from all of this. And even though they saw all of these things, they soon forgot. Now, Psalm 106 is a record of the story of God's people. And you could say this, you know, whatever is written really reflects what happens to us. It's a record of our story. The people, they saw, they forgot, and they rebelled. And how often do we see? Do we forget? And then do we rebel? Now, there are three lessons that we can learn from these verses 10 to 15. Firstly, God's people, they got what they wanted. Secondly, God's people forgot what God did. And thirdly, God's people get what they don't want. So firstly, we see here that God's people got what they wanted. In verse 10, it reads, "And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy." So God here saved the Israelites from Egypt, from Pharaoh. Now the question that I want to ask is, why did God do that? Why did God save the people from Pharaoh? You remember, right? Raymond mouthed the words covenant, and that's right. But what was the thing that was revealed also? When God called Moses and Moses saw the burning bush, what did God tell him why he wanted to rescue the people? He wanted to rescue the people because he heard their cries, right? Now, Exodus 3:7. Let's take a look at that. Exodus 3:7, we see in this verse that the people themselves were calling out for rescue. They wanted redemption. They were afflicted. Exodus 3, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows." So here, God heard their cries for redemption. That is why God went to answer and to rescue them. Psalm 111, verse 9, you know, tells us the reason that Raven gave, right? Not only did he hear their cries, but verse 9 of Psalm 111 says, "It is because of his covenant. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name." So we see two reasons. The people cried out, God kept his covenant. Now, it's the same thing with us, right? We have received what we seek God for, right? We were once servants of sin. You know, Romans 6:17-18 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." So, we ourselves were also rescued. We were rescued from slavery, from sin. So the result of this redemption is rest. The people not only were freed from Egypt, what was the result of their redemption? It was rest. Right? Exodus 33:14 says, "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." I think that's great, isn't it? This people, slaves, they were crying out. They asked God for redemption. God came, showed them all of these plagues, got the people free, and they had rest. All right? They had rest. They got what they wanted. Similarly, for those of us who come to Christ, who come to be in covenant with God, who come into the church, you know, we profess Christ, we have that rest, that redemption from sin. But secondly, God's people forgot what God had done. So after being rescued, they forgot. Now verse 13 of our psalm says, they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They forgot. Now, I think that's, we might look at Israel and say, now these people have super short memories, don't they? Yet the 10 plagues, the sea opening for them, the sea closing up on Pharaoh, they had manna, they had quail, they had water out of a rock, they heard the voice booming from heaven, giving the 10 commandments. They saw all of these things, yet at every turn, they forgot. They forgot God's works. Now, what did God do for them? He saved them out of a land, out of the grasp of a person, out of Pharaoh who hated them. Right? They saw all these plagues, the darkness, the flies, the locusts, the frogs. But when they were released, they forgot. Psalm 106, verse 7. And I think this is remarkable. Why did they forget? Why? What does it say in verse 7? Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Wow, that's remarkable. They saw all of these wonders, but they didn't understand. These were the covenant people of God, but they didn't understand. I think one thing that we ought to realize is this. Not everyone who professes to be a Christian, who is in the church, who grows up in the church, can understand or does understand. We pray that they do. But we even know that in Israel, those who were in covenant with God, many of them also departed, right? Does a sinner's prayer save anyone? No. Does growing up in church save anyone? No. So we have to realize, in church, right, in the people of God, in Israel, not everyone has the faith of Abraham. Okay, very, very simple. So they didn't understand. Their fathers did not understand. So after they were released, you know, the Lord, using Moses, led the people to an encampment. And at that encampment, they saw that the Egyptians were fast coming. Right? And then they said to Moses, what? You know, are there not enough graves in Egypt that you have to drag us all the way out here in order to die in this spot? Right? Why couldn't you have just left us in Egypt? We would be happier serving the Egyptians. Isn't this odd? Right? They cried out. Right? And because of their afflictions and their cries, God rescued them. But when they were rescued, they were brought to a place. They saw the Egyptians coming and they said, we would have been better off being slaves. Doesn't compute, does it? Now, the exact place where they said this is Exodus 14, verse 11 and 12. Can we take a look at that? Exodus 14, 11 and 12. It says here, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Right? Not only did they forget what God did, what else did they forget? They forgot their afflictions. You know, how many of us would like to say, 10 stripes on the back, brilliant, the best. I prefer that than them being out here. But that's exactly what they were doing. And because they had done this, verse 7 says that they provoked the Lord to anger. Right, and the word provoked has the idea of unbelief. Because of unbelief, They provoke God to anger. And yet it was on that same day that the Lord saved them again. You know the story, right? The Red Sea opened, the Israelites passed on dry land, and then the sea came back upon all the Egyptians and they were drowned. Exodus 14:30 tells us the aftermath of that. Exodus 14:30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. So, you know, not only did the waters cover them, but the bodies were washed up on shore and saw all of them dead. Now, think about how many Israelites crossed the Red Sea. Do you remember roughly how many? Probably about 1.5 to 2 million people. If you were Pharaoh and you were sending an army after 2 million people, how many people would you send? How many soldiers? Probably send a lot. You'd probably send your entire army. So the entire army of Pharaoh perished, all their bodies washed up onto the seashore. And Israel saw this again. And we learn in the psalm that we're studying, right? Verses 11 and 12. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. Now the famous song that was sung was Miriam's song, right? Ooh, the Lord has triumphed gloriously over horse and rider thrown into the sea. You remember that song? You know, she and the people recognized that God had triumphed gloriously. So in verses 11 and 12, they believed. They sang his praise. But then immediately after verse 12 is what? Verse 13. What does it say? They soon forgot. They soon forgot. They did not wait for his counsel. Now this is an interesting phrase. What does this refer to? They did not wait for his counsel. Remember, Moses told the Israelites, you stay down here, you're so afraid of listening to God, I will go up to the mountain to listen to God myself. You stay down here, listen for instructions. He went up there, spent, how many days was it? 40 days, I think, right? Then communed with God, he came back down. The people had not waited for counsel. What had they done? They had built a golden calf, right? You know, and really, that's very similar to what we have covered, you know, these past 2 weeks. You know, we all craft idols. We all polish the idols in our lives. You know, it doesn't matter whether we have been, you know, saved. We know that while we ought to follow God, we still want what we want. You know, very frequently, that's the case. You know, there's that unwillingness sometimes in us to follow God, to listen to God, to listen and follow His covenant. And why? Very simple, we forget. Either we forget or we don't understand. Okay? And that is why God allows us to go through difficulties. God allows us to go through difficult times. We want idols, we want these things. What do you think God will do? He'll give it to us. He'll give it to us. We work so hard to rebel against God. We want that thing that's not good for us. What does God do very frequently? He gives it to us. And that's the last point. God's people get what they want, which actually is what they don't want, what they should not want. All right, verse 14, what does it say? It says that they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. All right? They forgot his works. They didn't wait for his counsel. They lusted in the wilderness. They tempted God. They complained about manna, complained about water, complained about leadership, complained about God. Then verse 15, what happened? And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. You know, Israel has always had this history of rebellion. Deuteronomy 9, verse 7 says, remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until ye came into this place, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. So Israel had this You know, continuous history of rebellion. You know, early in their times in the wilderness, Israel grumbled. What did they want? Manna. Every day manna. Eat manna until it comes out of the ears and the nose and out of every orifice. We want meat. Right? So what did God give them? Quail. He gave them so much quail that they were filled with quail. And you remember what happened to them? Some of them were so hungry for quail that they ate the quail without preparing it properly, right? You remember that? They didn't prepare it properly, and what happened to them? They died. They died, right? That's what happened. They were sent leanness. So be careful what you pray for. Be careful what you really want rather than the satisfaction of God. You want this so much, you lust after it, you know, in the wilderness, God may just give it to you. And that's why there's a wonderful verse in Psalm 106, verse 3. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Why? Because this is the man that is blessed. You know, one thing we need to remember is not that God is out to get us. You know, he's not. We remember Romans 5, 9, that, you know, much more, knowing, you know, that we are now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from his wrath. God is not waiting to punish us, but God wants us to keep his judgments, to keep covenant. And God will often give us that leanness. He gives us what we want, right? Even though it's not good for us, in order to move us back to him. I mean, you look at Israel's history. Manna, all day manna. They got quail, right? Then they wanted, in Israel, the judges were not enough. God was not enough. God gave them a king. And the king, all the kings were not that great. You know, they taxed the people, they killed their sons, right? They wanted to worship their idols, you know? God gave them to their idols, and then there was the exile. And this is something that helps us to remember that we as Christians, we live in an age of grace, it's true. But in that age of grace, there's greater liberty to obey God and to walk according to God's word and his ways. And I think that's an important lesson, I think, in light, you know, of what we have heard, you know, in the past 2 weeks. You know, God very often will give us up to our idols. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your grace to rescue us from our Egypt and to be in covenant with us. We pray, Father, that as your people, we would keep covenant and we would perform our covenantal duties. And we thank you for the grace showered upon us and even the grace that is found in chastisement, for it keeps us close to Christ. And it renews our minds. And so we pray, Father, that you will once again cause us, as your people, to walk aright, to walk careful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.